The scripture reading this evening will be from Ezekiel verses 19 through 24. Yet you say, why should the Son not bear? Because the Son has done what is lawful and right, and has kept all my statutes and observed them. He shall surely live. The soul who sins shall die. The Son shall not bear the guilt of the Father, nor the Father bear the guilt of the Son. Righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself. But if a wicked man turns from which he has committed, keeps all my statutes and does what is lawful and right, he shall surely live. None of the transgressions which he has committed shall be remembered against him because of the righteousness which he has done. Do I have any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, says the Lord God, and that he should rise and live? But when a righteous man turns away from his righteousness and commits iniquity, and does according to all the abomination does, shall he live? All the righteousness which he has done shall be not be remembered of which he is guilty, and the sin which he has committed. Because of them he shall die.
Good evening. I also appreciation for everybody who's here this evening. I appreciate the presence of each and every one of you. And I hope you understand that I'm not the normal preacher here. And for those who have never heard me preach before, this will be a lot of scripture. And that's something that I think that each and every talk about. Personal responsibility today in the world is something that's not taught. And you can see it in the headlines of the papers and on everything else. Oh, he was such a nice boy. He shouldn't have been in that situation. Or, oh, I don't know why that would ever happen to him. People wanting to take and place the blame on somebody else. So, can't get the thing to work. Ah. Personal. Individual affecting individuals, particular or proper to him or her or to private. That is from Noah Webster's Dictionary of 1820. And no, I'm not old enough to know Noah Webster. Responsibility. To be liable, to make payment, as the defendant is held to respond to damage. Those are things that affect us in the world today, personal responsibility in the world today. But I want to talk to you this evening about something that I feel is much greater, and that's our personal responsibility to God. There are problems in the human family that we know that. And there are personal problems. We all have our own. And it is normal, at a normal to any problem, to blame someone else. Eve blamed the serpent, chapter 3 and verse 13. He made me do it. Adam blamed God through Eve in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 12. Israel was taken into captivity because Israel had sinned, but Israel tried to blame the fathers. God makes, which is eternal, unchanging truth, that each individual is responsible for her situation before God. In Ezekiel chapter 18, no one bears the responsibility, guilt, or righteousness of another. The righteousness shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. So, this evening, I'm going to let the Bible speak to us. I don't know if you can read that. I should have changed that over to white. Each individual is created in the image. And we have a number of scriptures about that. Genesis chapter 1. I'm going to let the Bible speak tonight. I'm not going to say very much myself. Genesis chapter 1, 27. And then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Him have dominion over the fish of the seas, over the birds of the air, and over cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 9. Oops. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 9. "Furthermore, we have had human fathers who correct us, and we paid them respect, much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live." Hebrews chapter 10. "Therefore, in all things, like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, creation for the sins of his people." All of those deal with how we are created in God's image. God has set forth the things he wants us, and he has also sent his Son in our image, in his image, our image, like us, to be a propitiation for our sins. Sin is a transgression of law, God's law. In 1 John chapter 3, we're not far from there, 1 John chapter 3, "Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness." Aha. Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 20, as we've read earlier this evening. I don't know how those other ones, we'll work that out. "The soul who sins shall die, bear the guilt of the Father, nor the Father bear the guilt of the Son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, the righteousness of the wicked shall be upon himself." Also, Isaiah chapter 59. Go back a couple of books. Chapter of Isaiah, verses 1 and 2. "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, nor his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear." Sin is a transgression of God's law. God has set forth things in this word, in this book, to tell us what we need, we're supposed to live, and how we're supposed to present ourselves each and every day. Commanded individual obedience. In Hebrews chapter 5, and in verses 8 and 9, "He was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became an obligation to all who obey him." Also, in Romans chapter 6, and verses 16 and 17, and I keep going right by it. 17. "Do you not know that whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin according to death or of obedience according to righteousness?" Excuse me. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Also, in 1 Peter chapter 1, in verse 20, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth of the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a peace. All of these things point to God's telling us that we have an individual responsibility to obedience of His Word. It is up to each and every one of us to take personal responsibility to learn what God has wanted us to do. Someone else learn it for us. We have to learn it ourselves. It is not something that comes through osmosis. You have to open this book, you have to look into it, and you have to find the things that God wants us to do. For our own salvation, but also that as we learn and as we understand the Word, that we can teach others. But it's basically so that we can obey and give obedience to God's commandments. Salvation is produced by seed. And as I go through this, at first you might not understand exactly what I'm trying to say. But and then we will see how they all fall together. Psalms chapter 22 and in verse 30, a posterity shall serve him. It will be recounted of the Lord to the next generation. Then in 1 Peter chapter 1, 23 through 25. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, the Word of God, which lives and abides forever, because all flesh is as grass, and all glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withers, and its flower fails, but the Word endures forever. In Luke chapter 8, verses 11 through 13. And this is the parable being explained to the disciples. Now the parable is, the seed is the Word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear, the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Rock are those, when they have heard, receive the word with joy, these have no root, who believe for a while and in time of temptation fall away. Now the ones that fell among the thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are riches and pleasures of life and bring no fruit to maturity. It says, but the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a heart, keep it and bear fruit with with patience. John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5. Jesus answered and said, "Truly I say unto you," and he's talking to Cornelius here, or Nicodemus, I mean, "unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And Nicodemus said, "Born when he is old, can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say unto you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." In Acts chapter 20, and in verse 32, so now, brethren, God, and through the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance who are sanctified. All of these scriptures lead to one thing, and that is the study of God's word. Taking the seed that is in here, planting it into our hearts, and by heart I mean our minds, and bring forth fruit. We cannot, in any other way than through this word, the words that are in this book, come to an understanding of what God has required us to do in order to be saved. There's no other way, only through this book. And let me tell you, brethren, the future is at stake. The future is at stake. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. Wrong way. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body he has done, whether good or bad. Our is at stake. As an individual, we have a personal to God. John chapter 12. And verse 48, he who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him, the word that I have spoken him in the last day. The words of Christ are going to judge us individually as we are responsible to God for the things that we do, say, think, in this life. James chapter 4. Why did I go the wrong way? James chapter 4, verses 13 to 15. Come now, you who say, tomorrow we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there and buy and sell and make profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord, we shall live and do this or that. We need to make our plans around God. We need to recognize the shortness of life. We need to understand are not going to be with us forever. I know a friend of mine, Corey, and some guy, other people were playing a bottle and hit him in the throat and shattered. And jugular vein. He died on those rocks in that quarry. He was 19 years old. Life is brief. We all have our own maladies. We all have our own things that bother us from time to time. All of those things can bring our life to an end very quickly. A number of us in this room are diabetics, including myself. Don't take care of ourselves, we will not live. We will then be responsible actions to God. Proverbs chapter 24. In verse 3, through wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 13. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, telling Timothy, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on the hands of the elders. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Comes back again to studying this book and the things that are in it, and making application of these things in our lives. Proverbs chapter 12. In verse 22, the first part of it. Lips are abomination to the Lord. That's a strong statement. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. Truthful. Proverbs 11. Excuse me. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. Chapter 6, and verses 6 through 11. He's talking. Go to the ant, you sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no captain, overseer, or ruler, her supplies in the summer, and gathers her food in the harvest. How long will you slumber? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come to you like a prowler, and you will need an armed man. A worthless person, a wicked man, walks with a perverse mouth. We need to make sure that we're making every application of God's life into our life. The book of Psalms is my favorite psalm, for one verses, because I think it says so much to us about what we need to do. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor scornful. But in his delight is the law of the Lord. In his law he meditates. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also, whatever he does, shall prosper. The end are not so. They are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of but the way of the ungodly shall perish. And Psalms chapter 92, verses 12 through 15. Blessed is the man whom you instruct and teach out your law, that you may give him rest from days of adversity. The pit is dug for the wicked. For the Lord will not cast off his people, forsake his inheritance, but judgment will return to righteousness, and all the upright in heart will follow it. The congregation that is satisfied to keep house. And what I mean by that is, if we don't make any plans to learn and to grow, not only numerically, but spiritual. We're not going to go anywhere. We're going to be a small group. But I think the elders have taken this philosophy, the congregation that makes and executes plans to grow for Christ, keep their house. And what I mean by that is, as we mature, as Christians, as we learn how to dissect God's Word and to make application of it to our lives, as we make applications and we try to teach others about it, we are going to bring others to Christ. We are going to increase in number. We are going to increase in strength. Mature spiritually first. We need to that we grow spiritually, that we learn from this book, that we dissect it. So what's the conclusion? Each person is personally responsible because, and I'm meaning responsible to, because we are created in the image of God. Sin is a law. God has commanded individual obedience, and self is always produced by the seed in this book. The words are the seed to salvation. My request to you tonight is be responsible. Learn the Word of God. Understand what it means. Make application of it to our lives. And ensure that we have a relationship with God so that when we are called to judgment, it will be said to us, "It is good, you are a faithful servant. Come into paradise." And we will not be condemned to hell because we have made application of what God has said in this to our minds and our hearts and our lives. If you have a need this evening, any spiritual need this evening, you need to be baptized for the remission of your sins, or to make confession for public sin, or to this congregation, I implore you. It's not my invitation, it's God's invitation, it's Christ's invitation. Do the right thing. Make your soul together. We stand, and as we sing.
Be on this land of fire.